You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now it's time for our weekly roundup of national politics. Democratic lawmakers are pushing for new disaster relief money for Puerto Rico. Some moderate Democrats in Congress are still searching for a candidate they want to back in the presidential primary. And yesterday, President Trump issued pardons in a handful of high-profile cases and commuted the prison sentence of former Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich. Sarah Ferris is a congressional reporter for Politico. Sarah, welcome back to Central Time.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Let's start with a story you've been following, Sarah, an aid package meant for Puerto Rico. Now, we have an older disaster, hurricane, but there are also 11 earthquakes there over the last couple of months. What is going on in Congress right now when it comes to aid for Puerto Rico?
That's right. So this is actually a storyline that I don't think a lot of people are following, which is this earthquake swarm in Puerto Rico. As you mentioned, a dozen or more earthquakes have hit the island. Some of them have been smaller. Some of them have been really major. And there's a lot of infrastructure that's down. Of course, the infrastructure was weakened by the trio of deadly hurricanes that hit several years ago. And there's been this back and forth between Democrats and President Donald Trump on aid for Puerto Rico, basically since he came into office. And we've seen this again with the earthquake funding. And Republicans on Capitol Hill don't really want to meddle in this issue. They're kind of letting it stick between Democrats and Trump on this. But there's $5 billion at stake that Democrats say is really necessary for the people of Puerto Rico to get the rebuilding efforts underway. There's schools that kids aren't able to go to right now because they're not actually safe. And there's a lot of infrastructure that needs to be rebuilt to make sure that it's up to standards. So there was a trip of Democrats led by House Majority Leader Cindy Hoyer that went over the weekend. And I think we're going to see this be an effort to try to amp up that pressure on Trump and on some of these Republicans in Congress in the next couple of weeks.
Now, there's, I think, two different bits of aid we're talking about. There was a package approved back in 2017, first of all. Has all of that made it to Puerto Rico at this point?
So it has not, and that's one of the major problems. So Democrats for months, years at this point, have been arguing that the Trump administration is slow walking that disaster aid. President Trump has criticized Puerto Rico a lot, really singling out this island, which of course is a U.S. territory, and saying that there's corruption and saying that Puerto Rico has mismanaged the money. Well, we really haven't seen evidence of that in terms of the hurricane funding. There have been some complications, political scandals, really, on the island in the last couple of weeks. We saw the governor actually step down. There was even recently there was a warehouse full of supplies that was discovered that these supplies were never doled out. So there have even Democrats will acknowledge that there's been some missteps, but the Trump administration has been very, very hard on Puerto Rico's government going back to 2017, and a lot of the money just hasn't gotten there, and they've been holding it up, saying that they want more reviewing of documents. They want more reviewing of where the aid's going to go. And that's just not something that happens when, for example, money goes to Florida or goes to Georgia for other hurricanes. They just don't have the same kind of scrutiny that Puerto Rico has faced in the last 3 years.
That's the 2017 aid. Are Democrats in the House looking for earthquake-related aid above and beyond that now?
Yes. So Democrats in the House passed a package of nearly $5 billion. And there are Democrats in the House who will tell you that maybe that is a little bit more than Puerto Rico needs. But basically what they're doing is trying to set the bar here. They're trying to start a negotiation with Republicans. This, of course, Democrats hold the House, and so they're able to pass the amount that they want. And they're hoping that Senate Republicans will come to the table with another kind of offer that they can send to the White House. But White House has threatened to veto this entire package. So the prospect is really not looking good for even more of these community development block grants. That's the vast majority of the funds would go to that specific program, which falls under the Department of Housing and Urban Development. So that money will not be able to get there unless the White House changes its position on this.
We'll keep watching that story. Also in the news, just yesterday, President Trump issued a number of pardons and commutations, including commuting the prison sentence of former Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich, who was convicted on multiple charges, including soliciting bribes for the appointment to an empty U.S. Senate seat. Here's Trump talking about that decision.
I did commute his sentence. So he'll be able to go back home with his family after serving 8 years in jail. That was a tremendously powerful, ridiculous sentence, in my opinion, and in the opinion of many others.
Do we know why the president decided to step in here on the case of Rod Blagojevich?
Well, it's a really interesting case because, of course, he was a Democratic governor, but he was also a friend of President Trump's. He had been on the Celebrity Apprentice show, and he also has just aligned himself with some of Trump's views over the years. In a press conference today, Blagojevich described himself as basically being persecuted by, quote, the swamp of Springfield. I mean, that's language that could have came out of Trump's mouth himself. So you do see a lot of parallels in the way that he kind of tries to appeal to this, to the populism that Trump has successfully ran on. So I think, you know, it's clear that they do have those personal relationships that would make sense for the, you know, why the president would choose to pardon him. But what's been really interesting is that he hasn't really gotten a lot of applause from either party on this. Of course, this is a disgraced Democratic politician, and Democrats don't want to see him pardoned. There are not a lot of Democrats who are happy about this. And if you talk to Republicans on the Hill, they're not happy about this either. There was a group of Illinois Republicans, including Darren LaHood, John Shimkus, Adam Kinzinger, Rodney Davis. They released a statement jointly and described him as the, quote, the face of public corruption in Illinois. And so they're trying to make a stand here that they don't want to be associated with the crimes committed by this former governor. You know, but of course they're trying to strike that line of not going against the president. But of course they did not agree with his decision here.
Yeah, we don't see a lot of bipartisan cooperation in American politics, but people have been referring back to Blagojevich when he was impeached for all of these scandals. In both chambers of their legislature, from both parties, he got exactly, I believe, one vote against impeaching him. Otherwise, it was unanimous. Both parties wanted him out. There doesn't seem to be a lot of love in Illinois politics for this decision.
Right, right. And in his press conference today, it made it sound like it was almost a political rally. I mean, it's just such a different tone than what you would expect for someone who was sent to jail for the types of crimes that he committed.
And this was just one of a handful of commutations and pardons. What do we know about the rest of the group of people that were part of these announcements yesterday?
So he really announced a lot at once, and they tend to do this by just if the more that you announce at once, there's kind of less scrutiny. I think it was 11 people overall, and this is really something that we have been expecting for Trump. He's been post impeachment. He's really been emboldened. So there were the San Francisco 49ers team owner. He had pled guilty in 1998. So another pretty public face. There was the junk bond king, Michael Milken. He had been serving for another white-collar crime. So there was a lot of people who were pretty well-known and had been in the public eye for crimes that apparently President Trump did not think warranted as much time. You know, none of these were types that we saw from former President Barack Obama when he would seek out people who had been targeted, who were unknown people, who had been perhaps sent to jail for drug-related crimes or under the three strikes provision. He made more of a political statement opposing some of the stricter criminal justice laws in the country, and that's just not what Trump did. He's not sending that kind of a statement with his decisions announced yesterday.
Talking to Sarah Ferris from Politico, looking at some of the big stories in national politics, turning to the presidential race, another Democratic presidential debate tonight, the Nevada caucus coming up. You recently reported on how moderate Democrats in Congress are feeling about the state of the race as Senator Bernie Sanders takes the lead in a lot of polls. What are we hearing from moderate Democrats in Congress?
So moderate Democrats, of course, are the main reason that the Democrats were able to regain the House in 2018. There was a lot of Democrats in Trump-won districts. Basically, their districts had chosen Trump in 2016, but they went for Democrats in 2018. There's about three dozen of them, and a lot of them are worried about a Bernie Sanders ticket. They think that either their voters will abandon them and choose a fully Republican ticket or not come out at all. And that's problematic, of course, because House Democrats are relying on these more, what they see as more moderate, in a lot of ways, they're suburban, wealthier individuals. And that's just not the demographic that Bernie Sanders has been doing really well with. And so there is a worry that Bernie Sanders could potentially cost them their reelection, potentially jeopardize the House, although I think that's not quite as likely. The numbers are still very good for the House in terms of their fundraising numbers, and the Republican challengers have not been as strong as expected. But, you know, Bernie Sanders, if he does lock up the nomination, I think we are going to see some of these moderates have to distance themselves from Sanders. And that's a really hard balance to strike when you're trying to tout Democratic achievements in Congress, but yet not associate yourself with another member of Congress. He's not a Democrat, but Bernie Sanders, you know, is someone who has been working with Democrats on a lot of the issues that they would be talking about on the campaign. So it really does strike a different, you'd have to strike a really difficult balance.
Now, that said, you talked to and heard from a bunch of different members, Democratic members of Congress. Are they lining up behind one particular alternative?
So a lot of them don't quite want to come out. You know, they say it's too early. But what I am noticing is that a lot of people are looking to Michael Bloomberg. And I think part of it is the massive amount of money that he spent to help Democrats get reelected and to help recapture the House in 2018. He spent an unprecedented sum of his own personal fortune to make sure Democrats could recapture the House. So there is a trust there. And there's a lot of Democrats who are willing to stick their neck out and put an endorsement out for him. I also think there's the reassurance that you know, you have to fight fire with fire. If you're going to have a New York billionaire on the ticket on the Republican side, let's put a New York billionaire who's not afraid to trash talk right up there on the debate stage with him. They see the kind of aggression fiery passion that from Bloomberg that Trump has been doing. I mean, there's some other moderates who might not be as willing to go head to head, and they're looking at Pete Buttigieg, Amy Klobuchar, even Joe Biden in some ways, and wondering if they have the energy, the drive, the stamina to really go against Trump in a powerful way. And Bloomberg has been touting in meetings with members of Congress, in his television ads, in his rallies that he's held so far. He's been touting his ability to go toe-to-toe with Trump. So I think that's what's winning over a lot of moderate Democrats. That said, he's got about he still has under 15 endorsements from House Democrats. So it's really overall not a huge number, but there is a lot of interest within the moderate wing of the caucus, even if they haven't come out to endorse him yet. And perhaps they will after they see him on the debate stage for the first time tonight.
Sarah, thanks for joining us today.
All right. Thanks for having me.
That's Sarah Ferris, congressional reporter for Politico. She joined us for a regular look at the week in Washington.